Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Fig Tree, was written by Joseph Mindell.
Do you sell trees?
You're new in Washington, or you wouldn't ask.
We've just bought a house, my wife and I, and we want a tree.
Well, congratulations. Now, let's see. How about a maple? I can give you a good buy.
Well, that's not what we had in mind.
No? Now, dogwood is nice, flowering dogwood. Very pretty in the spring.
No, not that either.
Well, I've got plenty more.
Well, let me tell you what we want.
Well, sure, go ahead.
Well, we thought we'd like a fig tree.
What?
I said that...
Look, you don't want a fig tree, mister?
Well, that's just what we do want. But well, if you don't have one...
Wait a minute. I can get you one. You know, it's a lot of work taking care of a fig tree.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind work.
Besides, that's a tree that needs warmer winters than we get here in Washington.
When I was a youngster up in Yonkers, somebody told me the same thing about peanuts.
Well, there you are.
But I grew peanuts in Yonkers.
Mister, with all the trees I've got to choose from, you on a fig tree. Will you tell me why?
Do you really want to know?
Well, I asked you, didn't I?
All right. Then I'll tell you. From Dan even to Beersheba, they dwelt safely. Every man under his vine and under his fig tree. A man should have his own fig tree.
His name was Felix Cohen. He lived his life under his own fig tree. And the work was great. And the fruit was sweet. He was a lawyer, a philosopher, an author. But whatever else he did, he was always a teacher. And not only in the classroom, for a teacher is first a man. And a man teaches by the way he lives. This is the story of Felix Cohen and the way he lived. Before he was a teacher, he was a student at City College in New York.
Felix, you're interested in philosophy.
Isn't everybody?
I'm not trying to start a discussion. I was only going to suggest, let's both take Cohen's course next semester, huh? Well, Felix?
Talking about discussions, I've been meaning for a long time to ask you over to my house, Albert. How about tonight?
Oh, I'll be glad to come. Now, I was saying, how can anyone go through City College without taking a course with Morris Cohen?
There'll be some others. We usually discuss, well, something. My mother has promised refreshments.
Oh, thanks. I'll be there. Well, what do you say, Felix? Shall we register for it?
At 8 o'clock tonight?
Yeah. Hey, what's the matter with you? Can't you say yes or no?
Well, you go ahead and register for it, Albert.
I don't understand you. I know you're interested in philosophy, but you won't take a course with a great philosopher like Morris Raphael Cohen. Cohen. Maybe he's even a relative of yours.
Well, there are lots of Cohens. I suppose so.
You won't change your mind, Felix?
Nope.
Well, you said 8 o'clock tonight. Huh? I'm not late, am I, Felix?
Oh, no, Albert. I'd like you to meet my father. He usually sits in on our discussions.
Good evening, young man.
How do you do, Mr. Cohen? I'm very pleased. You're
Professor Cohen. Morris Raphael Cohen.
Yes, I am. Young man, your mouth is open.
But
Why didn't you tell me he's your father, Felix? What a trick to play on me.
I didn't mean to fool you, only... Well, look at you. Your mouth is still open.
You should have told me.
Albert, sometimes I think that Felix is ashamed of me.
Oh, no, Professor Cohen.
Oh, yes. You realize it isn't the first time this has happened.
My father's teasing, Albert.
Never mind that, Albert. Why do you suppose that Felix has never taken one of my courses?
Well, I suppose he just... To be honest, Professor Cohen, that's something I don't understand.
I have a theory about it. I think that Felix doesn't like to contradict his father in public. And when two philosophers get together...
Well, don't philosophers ever agree?
It happens, but rarely when they're both named Cohen. Mind, I'm not complaining. If Felix were in my class, I suspect I'd get the worst of an argument more often than I do.
Oh, he's teasing again, Albert.
No, not now. I'll tell you something. When Felix disagrees with me, I very carefully re-examine my philosophy.
Felix was 24 when his father's first great book, Reason and Nature, was published. In the preface, Morris Cohen wrote,
"My son, Dr. Felix S. Cohen, has been so helpful in suggestions, criticisms, and preparing the manuscript for the press that I find it difficult to indicate the great extent of my and the reader's obligation to him."
Felix never sat in Morris Cohen's classes, nor did he later, when he went to Washington, sit in his father's shadow.
Hello! Hello there!
Oh, hello!
Hey, wait a minute! You're Felix Cohen, aren't you? Don't you recognize me?
Of course, Senator.
You walked right past me.
I'm sorry, sir. I was thinking about something. I just didn't see you.
Your father wrote me some time ago that you were here in Washington. Why haven't you and your wife come to see me?
Oh, I didn't want to presume on your friendship with my father.
Nonsense. What are friends for? You're in the Department of the Interior, aren't you? Hey, maybe I can put in a good word for you.
If you don't mind, Senator, I'd rather you didn't.
Well, now, Felix, I've been around a long time. Good word in the right places never did anybody any harm.
Oh, please, sir. I wish you wouldn't.
That makes me curious. Tell me, why not?
Well, I don't want you to think that I don't appreciate it, only I'd like to try it on my own.
All right, Felix. Maybe I've been around too long. Anyhow, when are you coming to visit me?
Oh, very soon, I hope. At the moment, Lucy and I are still busy with our new house.
Of course, of course. Putting up curtains and things.
Oh, no, not exactly. Right now, we are getting ready to plant a fig tree. There. Whew, that's the last load of soil. Has the tree come yet, Lucy?
Not yet, Felix.
Oh, my back.
Come and sit with me for a while, Felix. Here.
Oh, that's good. Your hand is blistered from raking.
That's nothing. I'm just a tenderfoot with a brown thumb.
I've been thinking, Lucy, let's put the tree right here and the grape arbor over there.
All right. And then we'll live safely under our vine and under our fig tree.
That depends on what you mean by safely.
You sound like your father.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, if I have my tree, everyone else is entitled to his. It's easy to think about your own and forget about your neighbors. I think that's the danger.
You won't forget, Felix.
Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruits thereof. For Felix Cohen, the sweetness was not only in the fruit, but in the labor that produced it. He held legal posts in the Department of the Interior, in the Department of Justice, for almost 15 years, and he worked hard. And those who worked with him also worked hard.
That's quit, Felix.
No, not yet, Albert. It's only... Oh, I didn't realize it was almost 10.
Well, I did.
Let's finish this chapter, hmm?
Felix, this job doesn't have to be done by the day after tomorrow.
Well, it has to be finished in a year.
It's impossible. You can't collect and analyze and classify all the thousands of treaties and laws and decisions dealing with the Indians in 1 year. Whoever set that deadline for the Handbook of Federal Indian Law is unreasonable.
I said it myself, Albert.
I might have known. Felix, do you remember you told me how when you were a kid, you and your brother and sister would take a live spark from the fireplace and hold it in your hands?
A test of valor, we used to call it.
You're still doing it, Felix.
Oh, no. No, this is different, Albert. I'm not trying to prove anything about myself.
What are you trying to prove?
Do I have to prove something?
Felix, you'd be turning away clients if you opened your own law office. Instead, you're in government service.
You make it sound as if that's wrong.
No, I didn't say that. But you have to think of yourself, not only of, well, of the Indians.
I am thinking of myself. Albert, we've made treaties with the Indians and laws about them. And some were just and some were not. But by and large, they've been discriminated against in the right to vote, the right to Social Security, the right to use their own funds, the right to control their own property. They have suffered from discrimination, as other minority groups have suffered from our immigration and naturalization laws. It's wrong, Albert. It's more important to do something about it than to sit around in an office and turn away clients.
You don't have to do it by yourself, the way you're doing this handbook.
Maybe I do have to do it myself. If we want a little more justice and humanity in the world, maybe each person has to act as if he were doing the job by himself.
Hello, Felix. Well, I hear you've been doing a good job.
Thank you, Senator. I wanted to talk to you about...
I know. About the Indians. Oh, Felix, it's an old problem.
Yes. All the more reason why something should be done about it.
Well, you can't do the whole job yourself.
Senator, there was a speech on the floor yesterday about the American ideal.
Well, you know, speeches on the Senate floor, some of the junior members...
No. It was a good speech. Senator, this country welcomed my father and my grandfather into freedom, as it welcomed millions. But even today, people are being deprived of rights which are theirs not only by law, but by any ethical considerations.
I'm afraid ethics and politics don't always go together. We have to be practical.
What's more practical than morality and justice?
I know you have a special interest in Indians, in all minority groups, but...
Senator, I have a special interest in people.
Felix, I'm an old friend of your father's. Let me give you some advice. You want to get ahead in government service, don't you?
I'm not sure I know what you mean, Senator.
Well, I mean, the way you were talking just now, and I've heard about the arguments you've had with some pretty important people.
I can't remember any arguments. There may have been differences of opinion.
Well, of course. Only you might be a little more tactful.
Senator, sometimes there is no tactful way of saying what you believe is true.
Well, is it always necessary to say it?
The choice is between expediency and truth. Yes, it is necessary. It's impossible to serve two masters.
Well, I give up, Felix. You're the kind of person who thrives on trouble and controversy.
Just the opposite, Senator. I think of myself as a hedonist.
What?
The highest good in life is pleasure.
Well, you certainly go about it the hard way.
No, Senator, in a very rational way. The Talmud says, in somewhat different words, the only pleasure that is not followed by a hangover is the pursuit of truth.
In the pursuit of truth and justice, in the belief that every democratic society entrusts to the most despised human beings in its midst the high responsibility of protecting the human rights of all its members, Felix Cohen helped to draft immigration laws, worked for autonomy for Puerto Rico, devised new forms of self-administration for Indian tribes. And 1 year he represented the United States in its role as protector of Indian rights before the Supreme Court. It was a case that arose out of a simple incident because a man went fishing.
Hey! Hey, you!
You talking to me?
Who else? You got a state fishing license?
I'm from the reservation.
You mean you're an Indian? You don't look like no Indian.
I left my war paint and feathers in my teepee.
All right, wise guy, so you're an Indian. Show me your license.
I told you, I don't need one.
Everybody needs one. No fishing license, no fishing. Now, come on, get moving.
No. I've the right to fish in this river.
Now, don't argue with me.
Then tell me, who do I argue with?
Argue with the judge. The law is the law.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. When I went to the government school, they told me the United States made a treaty with my people.
Don't tell me about any treaties. I'm only the game warden.
When I got to the state university, I saw a copy of it. I can tell you what it says.
Look, I'm only trying to do my job.
I learned the words by heart. So long as the sun shines, so long as the wind blows, the rivers in the reservation and about it shall be free to the people of the tribe, and they shall have the right to fish them. Now, mister, has the sun stopped shining?
You, excuse me. I don't talk English so good like my grandson. He go to university.
We'll understand each other.
Maybe. Maybe we understand. You come here all the way from Washington. Why?
To talk to you. It's my job.
Sure. We talk. First you tell me, Mr. Cohn, whose side you on?
If I said I was on your side, would you believe me?
I am old. I see men come from Washington before. They say many things. If you say truth, I believe you.
I am on the side of the right.
Before you come, we talk to Indian gods. They tell us what is right. Mr. Cohn, what your gods say?
It hath been told thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee. Only to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
We understand each other. Now we talk.
The ruling of the Supreme Court guaranteed the right of Indians to fish forever in their own waters. Also upheld the integrity of the United States as a party to Indian treaties. The Blackfeet Indians adopted Felix Cohen into the tribe and gave him the name Double Runner. Was it because he went between two peoples, or because there was so much to do in so little time that he ran when others walked? Yet there was always time when he was home to celebrate the festivals. There was always time with Lucy, his wife, and their daughters Karen and Jean to light the candles and welcome the Sabbath.
You look tired, Felix. Felix.
Oh, excuse me, Lucy. I was thinking.
About your work?
No. Look, the candle's burning. All of us together at the table. Lucy, It's so good to be together.
It is good, Felix.
I was thinking, sometimes we take good things for granted. Sometimes I take people for granted.
I'm not complaining.
I know. Maybe I don't have to say it, but I want to. A woman of valor who can find, for her price is far above rubies, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, and he hath no lack of gain. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate.
Thank you, Felix.
Lucy, may peace and happiness continue to shine in our home.
When he was young, Felix Cohen wrote poetry. Then he wrote one last poem and stopped.
The truest poetry of life is life. Let others sing the songs that I create. Poetry was in the way he lived, the way he climbed mountains, the way he spoke to a child, the way he sang or cultivated his garden. In 1948, he left the government service. Among the clients who came to him were Indian tribes, Negro groups, Jewish organizations. Other lawyers also came to seek his technical assistance, and members of Congress came with the complex problems of lawmaking. Of those who needed help, he turned none away. He wrote. He lectured on philosophy and law at Yale and at City College. There was so much to do and so little time. He ran, the double runner, and never so quickly as when he was returning to his family, to his garden.
The figs are ripe, Jeannie. I hope you picked some while I was away.
Oh, we wouldn't do that, Daddy. We waited for you.
Here, Karen, you hold the basket. Hmm?
We were afraid they'd fall off the tree before you got back, Daddy.
Look, the first one of the season. We'll divide it four ways, a piece for each of us.
Dad.
Well, don't you want it, Jeannie? Look, it's a beautiful fig.
Dad, if I... Well, don't be angry if I say something.
Well, I won't, I promise.
Why can't you be like other fathers?
Well, I guess because I'm me and nobody else. And you're stuck with me.
I mean, why do you have to be away so much? Even when you're in Washington, you come home so late that we hardly ever see you.
But we have fun when we're together.
Of course we do. But do you have to work so hard and so long?
What a question.
I'm not a child anymore, Dad. I'm 14.
I'm sorry. Jeannie, there is so much that has to be done.
You lecture in different colleges. Couldn't you just get a job in one of them and just teach in one place? And come home early every day.
I suppose so. Jeannie, what do you think I could teach?
Well, about law, of course.
Law is about people, Jeannie. About justice and truth. You can't just talk about these things. You have to do something about them.
There are lots of other people to do whatever has to be done.
Oh. Jeannie and Karen, listen to me. I want you both to try very hard to understand.
We will, Daddy.
We really will.
Good. Long ago, a very wise teacher said, "It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us and make us hear it that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the seas. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Children, can I send someone to do it for me?
Thank you, Dad.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm not sure, but I'm glad you told us.
Karen, you'll understand it better when you're a little older. Now, girls, let's all eat the fruit of our fig tree.
Felix Cohen lived by the words of Job. Till I die, I will not put away mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live.
He died in the autumn of 1953. His life and his works overflowed his 46 years. Yet so much that he wanted to do was left undone, and so much of the fruit of his fig tree was unpicked. What are the fruits of a man's life? The love he bears, the love he engenders, the work he does. Above all, the lessons he teaches by the way he lives. Felix Cohen was a teacher.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Ira Eisenstein, Rabbi of the Society for the Advancement of Judaism and President of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. Rabbi Eisenstein.
In honor of the forthcoming observance of Lincoln's birthday, and in the spirit of Felix Cohen and the thousands of dedicated souls whom Lincoln inspired, I shall read a prayer by Stephen Vincent Benet. God of the free, grant us victory over the tyrants who would enslave all free men and nations. Grant us faith and understanding to cherish all those who fight for freedom as if they were our brothers. Grant us brotherhood in hope and union for all the days to come, which shall and must unite all the children of earth. The spirit of man has awakened, and the soul of man has gone forth. Grant us the wisdom and the vision to comprehend the greatness of man's spirit that suffers and endures so hugely for a goal beyond his own brief span. Grant us patience with the deluded and pity for the betrayed. And grant us the skill and the valor that shall cleanse the world of oppression, of the old base doctrine that the strong must eat the weak because they are strong. Yet most of all, grant us brotherhood, not only for this day but for all our years, a brotherhood not of words but of acts and deeds. We are all of us children of earth. Grant that simple knowledge. If our brothers are oppressed, then we are oppressed. If they hunger, we hunger. If their freedom is taken away, our freedom is not secure. Grant us a common faith that man shall know bread and peace, that he shall know justice and righteousness, freedom and security, an equal chance to do his best, not only in our own land, but throughout the world. And in that faith, let us march toward the clean world our hands can make. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Eisenstein. Our eternal light drama today, The Fig Tree, was written by Joseph Mindell and featured Norman Rose as Felix and Frances Carlin as Lucy. Roger DeCoven was the narrator. Others in our cast were Leon Jenny, Peter Capel, John Griggs, Denise Alexander, Janet Alexander, Jim Bowles, Daniel Occo, and Cliff Owen. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.